Part of this week's recalibration in Washington was the notion that the president might pursue a more unifying approach.
Hopefully we can all work together next year to continue delivering for the American people, including on economic growth, infrastructure, trade, lowering the cost of prescription drugs. These are some of the things that the Democrats do want to work on.
But that dissolved quickly on Wednesday during President Trump's press briefing.
Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible. And the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way.
Hours after that exchange between the president and CNN White House correspondent Jim Acosta, the administration revoked Acosta's press credentials.
I am in front of the White House. Secret Service officer is asking for my hard pass. Obviously, no hard feelings to the officer, but I am now giving my hard pass to the Secret Service.
In defense of their decision, the administration circled a doctored video of the exchange and Acosta's interaction with a White House intern, first shared by the far-right website InfoWars. Olivier Knox is the president of the White House Correspondents Association and the chief D.C. correspondent for SiriusXM. And while his job typically focuses on logistical matters, weeks like this demand something much different.
When things collapse spectacularly, I'm called upon to speak on behalf of the roughly 600 members of the association, sometimes in conflict with the White House. This is the third time that I've had to put out a statement criticizing a White House decision. I wasn't even a week on the job when the White House barred a CNN reporter from basically a public event at the White House in retaliation for her questions in the Oval Office. I put out a statement when the president celebrated a congressman's criminal assault on a reporter. And then I put out a statement describing the decision to strip a CNN correspondent of his Secret Service pass to the White House grounds in retaliation for his actions at a press conference. Absolutely true. Sometimes I'm not just discussing motorcades and Wi-Fi. Sometimes I'm called upon to defend the ability of a free press to cover the most powerful institution in American political life.
It's now been 2 years of covering this president. What have you figured out about working with this president? And what do you think you and your colleagues need to do or maybe need to do better for the next 2 years?
One thing I've learned is that he's extremely comfortable being his own press secretary, communications director, and spokesman. So you've seen him come out in the last month or so and take hundreds of questions from reporters. I can't think of a reporter who thinks that he should take fewer. I think it's great that he's coming out, taking questions from as he's off to the helicopter, taking questions at a press conference, taking questions when he's meeting with people either in the Oval Office or the Cabinet Room. He's been increasingly accessible in that sense. The other thing is, for all the really ugly language that he directs in our direction, he does crave news coverage. He's very sensitive to it. He's been known to scold aides if, you know, a camera angle is off or if the sound is not good on something else. In terms of what we need to do, I mean, there are a couple aspects of this. One of them is, I'm old enough now, Amy, that people actually ask me for advice, which is weird. But when they ask me how to cover the White House, my answer is always the best way to cover the White House is not to cover the White House. It's to reach out to people in Congress, the Pentagon, the State Department, the other agencies, foreign embassies, former officials, think tankers, et cetera. Basically, you're looking for overlap of information without overlap in interest in keeping that information secret. And so that's the best way to cover, I think, almost any White House.
The president, you know, when you were talking about how much he enjoys the press, even as he's attacking the press, how do you balance that? You obviously both need each other. He wants the coverage. You all want the eyeballs and the clicks. How do you work in that environment to make sure that you're not just simply sort of falling into what seems like a game of one-upmanship?
Well, let me start by saying I do appreciate that you highlighted the business part of the press, the eyeballs and the clicks. But I'll tell you that everybody I know in the White House press corps feels more of a duty to readers and listeners and viewers and actually, you know, chronicling a presidency for our fellow citizens and for the world. So there is a mission component to what we do. In terms of not falling into what people are describing as traps, you know, we are describing us as the White House press corps gives sort of this false sense of that we are sort of all one, sort of an amalgam of people. We lose our individuality here. But in fact, editorial decisions get made by individual outlets. They don't get made by me. And so I make my own decisions. I make decisions for SiriusXM. But, you know, if CNN wants to cover something else, or if the Associated Press wants to cover something else or whatever, then that's up to those individual outlets.
Do you think that the president thinks he's at war with you, even if you don't think you're at war with him?
They've made a very conscious decision to elevate us as enemies. Very clear. It's a very clear political decision. You know, he likes to have an opponent. He thrived on the Republican primary debate stage, having opponents and belittling them. He thrived having an opponent in Hillary Clinton. And he has now chosen to effectively go to war with us very publicly. You know, he encourages his supporters at rallies to jeer and howl and call us fake news. I'll tell you, you know, in late 2000, Amy, I was attacked by a supporter of Al Gore who threw my laptop in the beach at an event in Florida. In 2004, a Kerry supporter threw some batteries at me. In 2004, again, a supporter of George W. Bush spat on me. And I still divide my career into pre and post February of 2017, because that's when the president called us the enemies of the people. I was driving my son somewhere a couple days later, and he burst into tears, and I asked him what was wrong, and he asked me whether Donald Trump was going to put me in prison. That's very new. That's a very new feeling. It's as a Frenchman, I sort of recognize the irony that the president is wielding a phrase that was developed during the French Revolution, but it's obviously very, very different.
Do you worry, Olivier, that what happened with Jim Acosta, it's one reporter, one hard pass, but that this is going to be ratcheted up over the next couple of years, that more reporters will be banned or specific critics of the president will no longer be able to access the White House?
I can tell you that the concern from White House Correspondents Association members who have emailed me and called me and texted me, that's the number one concern, that this is a precedent-setting moment. Obviously, that's one of my concerns as well, absolutely, that this not be a precedent-setting moment. I mean, to be clear, I think this was a disproportionate response, and I've publicly urged the White House to reverse course. But of course, that's a concern.
Olivier Knox is the president of the White House Correspondents Association and the chief D.C. correspondent for SiriusXM.